Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 4, 1 to 5. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's pray as we come to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the book of Genesis. Thank you that it's so foundational to our thinking and our understanding. And we pray that you would teach us from your word what you want us to know, and that you would help me in preaching and help everyone here in listening and learning, that we might not be like the people described in Zechariah who did not hear and did not heed, but we would be the contrary of that, the opposite. We would hear and we would heed. And so help us in this time. Thank you for it. Please help me. Please give me grace to preach your word faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have now gone through the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, seeing both the creation of the world, more specifically the creation of mankind as male and female. And then, of course, we saw the fall and all the effects of that. And then last week we saw Adam and Eve being driven out of the garden so they would not take of the tree of life. But now we get into chapter 4. And this chapter begins with Adam and Eve having children, and those children, those sons, and their relationship to the Lord and to worshiping him. And so the main point of this sermon is Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel, and Cain offers an unacceptable sacrifice, whereas Abel offers an acceptable sacrifice. So again, Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel, and Cain offers an unacceptable sacrifice, whereas Abel offers an acceptable sacrifice. So my first point, Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel. And second point, Cain offers an unacceptable sacrifice, whereas Abel offers an acceptable sacrifice. So again, my first point, Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel. In verse 1, it says, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Or then verse 2, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And so we see that in Genesis 1, in verse 28, God told Adam and Eve before the fall, he said, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so we see that was God's mandate to them from the beginning. But then the fall happened, and you might, if you didn't have all of it, know what was going to happen as it related to Adam and Eve and having children. Were they going to still be able to fulfill that? We get a hint in chapter 3 and verse 20 where Adam renames his wife from being the woman to being Eve. And the reason he renames her is because she was the mother of all living, testifying that God is not going to just wipe them out, but she's actually going to have children and she's going to be the mother of every single human descendant as the mother of all living. But then in chapter 4, we see not only are they commanded to do that in chapter 1? Not only does Adam testify that he names her Eve because she was the mother of all living, now we actually see that Adam and Eve have children themselves. And so chapter 4, verse 1, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. So Adam knew, which is obviously euphemistic language. It's a modest way of speaking that he had sexual intimacy with Eve, his wife. And in light of them having intimacy together as husband and wife, God blessed them even after the fall, even after sin had entered the world. God blessed them with a child. And so Adam and Eve had a child. Eve conceived and bore Cain. Because of God's blessing to them, they had a child, and their first child, their oldest son, they named Cain. Cain means breath, or no, it means to acquire. Acquire. That's what Cain means. And so Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore. It's interesting, the way the Bible speaks about children shows us when life begins according to God. There's other verses that show us, but it's conceived and bore. So she had Cain. Cain became a human when he was conceived, and then she bore him. This is language of the scriptures. She conceived and bore Cain, showing that Cain was really Cain when he was conceived in his mother's womb. And then after that time, she bore him. And it's interesting how Eve responds, though. She says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. There's two ways in which this could be understood. It could be she is just excited after the falls happened and thrilled that even though she sinned or husband sinned, they've been cursed, they've been kicked out of the garden, God has given them a child. And she's overjoyed that she's received a man, a child from the Lord. It's also possible that Eve thought that this child came was actually a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. That she thought she had acquired the promised seed who was going to destroy the works of the devil. It's possible she thought that too. Whatever exactly it was, we see that she was joyful, and basically it reads almost, she's crying out, I have acquired a man from the Lord. That she, even in her fallen state, was able to have the blessing of children. She acquired a man from the Lord. And then, probably not long after, sometime, I think some people might even think they were twins, but she had Cain, and then verse 2, she bore Abel, or she bore again, excuse me, this time his brother Abel. So she had Cain, then she had Abel. So in this time, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and she conceived and bore Abel. They were given the blessing of, at this point, two children. We know from chapter 5, it says, after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So it's very likely Adam had multiple sons, multiple daughters, according to chapter 5, verse 4 of Genesis. But here we see emphasis on these two sons, Cain and Abel. We see their occupation. So Abel, when he became of age, was a keeper or was a guardian, guarded the sheep. So he guarded the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So in this first point, I just want you to see that Adam and Eve, they had relations. They were blessed with two children, Cain, which means acquire, and Abel, which means breath or nothing. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So that's, we see the background. The other verses, we're getting more in the meat of the realities with Cain and Abel, but here we see how they came about. Obviously, they were children of Adam and Eve, and how their occupations were one, Abel, keeper of the sheep, and Cain, a tiller of the ground. But now my second point. Cain offers an unacceptable sacrifice, whereas Abel offers an acceptable sacrifice. So Cain, Abel, children of Adam and Eve. And in verse 3, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And so we see here in the process of time, in my Bible it says at the bottom, literally, at the end of days, which could have been the seventh day, which would have been the Old Covenant Sabbath, or maybe the end of the year, but I would take it probably at the appointed day of worship, the seventh day, following God's pattern of rest. And we see there that Cain brought an offering, and his offering was the fruit of the grounds. And Abel's offering was the firstborn of his flock. And so we see there are two different sacrifices. One, fruit of the ground. The other, the firstborn of his flock. It's interesting, too, the Lord then respects Abel, his offering, but he does not respect Cain and his offering. Now the question can come up for people. Why did God value or regard with pleasure the offering of Abel, but not Cain? What made the difference? Why was God pleased with Abel and displeased with Cain? Why did God accept what Abel brought and disregard and reject what Cain brought? What made the difference between these two? What made the difference between Cain and Abel? Well, let's look at verses. If you turn with me to Matthew 23. And if you look at verses 34 and 35. Matthew 23, 34 and 35. Matthew 23, 34 and 35. So it says there, "Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city." Verse 35. "That on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar." Why would I go to a verse like this? Well, listen to how Jesus describes Abel, righteous Abel. So we see from this verse, Abel was a righteous, upright, godly man. We'll see that Cain wasn't, but first we want to focus on Abel. One key reason why he was accepted is he was an upright man. That's not the foundational reason, but it was a key reason. He was an upright man. That's why Jesus describes him in verse 35 of Matthew 23 as righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. That's very important. That he was a righteous, upright man. Then if you look at 1 John chapter 3. Now we're going to focus more on Cain, but we'll also see things about Abel in this. If you look at 1 John 3, starting at verse 11. 1 John 3 and verse 11. It says there, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 12. 1 John 3:12. "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So we see here Abel described by our Lord Jesus Christ as a righteous man, righteous Abel. Here Cain is described as of the wicked one. He is of the seed of the serpent. He is a wicked child of the devil. And we even see, why did he murder his brother, which we'll see in another sermon more clearly. Why? Because his works, Cain's works, were evil. And because Abel was a righteous man, his works were righteous. So Cain, unlike his brother, was not righteous. He was of the wicked one. So Abel, a righteous man, a godly man, Abel was like that, and Cain was ungodly and of his father the devil. But then if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, we now see another reason why Abel was accepted while Cain wasn't. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. We see explicitly about Abel. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. So let me summarize these verses. Why was Abel accepted and not Cain? Why was Abel accepted and not Cain? The reason why Abel was accepted, first and foremost, based on Hebrews chapter 11, Abel came by faith. Abel was a believer in the living and true God. He came, unlike Cain, as we'll see, by faith. He trusted God, and he was a true saved man who had sincere faith in the living God to be his God and his Redeemer. He trusted God. And so first and foremost, Abel was accepted because he came by faith. Second, he was accepted, according to Hebrews 11, because he brought a more excellent sacrifice, showing that not only the way he came, faith, but what he came with mattered. And so because he came by faith with a more excellent sacrifice, God received his gifts. God received his offering. And then third, because unlike Cain, he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. And so for those three reasons, Abel was accepted. He came by faith. He came bringing what God desired. And he was a man of upright character, a man sincerely who loved and obeyed God. Now we can do the opposite for Cain. Why was Cain not accepted? Because unlike Abel, he didn't come by faith. He was not a child of faith, but a child of unbelief, a child of the wicked one. He did not come believing God and trusting God. He also, second, did not come bringing what God desired. He did not bring a more excellent sacrifice. He did not bring an excellent sacrifice like Cain or like Abel did. And third, he was not a righteous man. He was a man of evil and evil works. And so it's interesting too, Moses in chapter 4 by the Holy Spirit even emphasizes what they bring. Abel brings of the fruit of the ground. I'm sorry, Cain brings of the fruit of the ground. And Abel brings of the firstborn of his flock, showing that God desired not the fruit of the ground, but an animal sacrifice, as we saw as he did for Adam and Eve to cover them. And so Abel brought what God desired, an animal sacrifice, where Cain brought not an animal sacrifice, not the shedding of blood, but he brought an offering, which was the fruit of the ground. And so for those reasons, God accepted Abel because he was a man of faith. He brought true offerings and he was a man of upright character. Let me apply this to us. When we come to worship God, all three things must be in play. God cares about all three. Because if we only emphasize by faith, we miss it. And if we only emphasize what we bring, we miss it. It must be both. God cares that we come with faith. Because only true believers can worship God in sincerity. Only true believers can come into his presence in a sincere worship. Because the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But we must come by faith. And so it's important that when we worship God, we come trusting him as our God, Savior, and Redeemer. Second, we must come bringing what he desires. Abel brought what God wanted. That's what's implied because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and he came by faith. And so we must bring what God desires. We cannot be creative or clever or say, you know what, this makes me feel good, or this is easier, or this is better, or this makes people feel more comfortable, any of that. We must bring to God what he commands so that we come in a spirit of reverence, obeying him and not bringing what we want, but what he's appointed. In this context, an animal sacrifice. And third, God cares that we come by faith. He cares that we bring what he desires, but he also cares, as we read in the Psalms, that we come with clean hands and a pure heart. Meaning, he cares that we come living the other 6 days when we don't come to worship him specifically in public worship in a godly way. If we live a worldly life and we live in so many ways disobeying his commandments and rebelling against him, and then we come, God is not going to be pleased with that. He wants us to come by faith, giving him what he wants, lifting up holy hands. Hands that are, of course, not sinless, but hands that are seeking by his help to walk in moral uprightness like Abel. So God cares about all three of those things. And if we emphasize one without the other, we don't get the whole picture. Abel had all three, and that's why he was accepted. He came by faith, doing what God wanted, and he came as an upright and righteous man. Cain is the exact opposite. But it's interesting, both bring worship. Both bring sacrifices. Both offer to the Lord a sacrifice. Just like, sadly, many people across this world, across this country, in ages before and now, might come to worship God, but they don't come by faith. They're not true believers. They don't come bringing God what he desires, and their life shows that they bear no fruit, and they do not live an upright life. They don't care about living in sin. They don't care about doing their own thing. But you know what? They want to come to worship. But they're like Cain at that point, coming in unbelief, not how God desires, and coming without living a godly life. But it can also happen where maybe someone has one without the other. We come by faith bringing our own things. Or we come bringing what God wants without faith. And all this is important. Let me just highlight how sometimes this can be worded. Sometimes people can think or so emphasize, God only cares about my heart, or God sees my heart. And they don't emphasize what they do because they're so worried about saying, God sees my heart. God knows that my heart's in the right place. Which they can be easily self-deceived because what are they relying on? They're relying on the sincerity of their heart. And they're focusing on that while their outward behavior and outward actions are wrong. But we also have the other extreme, the other, which maybe people in our circles can fall into more, doing the right thing, offering the right worship, but not doing it with a heart that's filled with faith and godly zeal. Doing the right thing, doing what God commands, singing, in our context, singing, praying, preaching, Lord's Supper, etc., but not coming with faith and a zeal to honor God. And you just go through the motions. And you come and you leave and basically you just don't have any desire to be there. True desire. You're not really into it. You're not really passionate to learn and grow and worship God because he saved you in Jesus Christ. And that's bad too. And I think in our circles, that's more the ditch we can fall into. Because we are very serious about wanting to worship God as he wants and not adding things that he hasn't appointed. All good. But it's only good if we come loving and delighting in God through those things. Because God doesn't want us to go through the motions. God doesn't want us to bring him offerings that he desires while not desiring it ourselves. And we can all fall into that trap. We can all stumble into that sin. We do not want to be like the Pharisees, who honor God with our lips while our hearts are far from him. God cares about both. God cares that our lips are honoring him the way he desires and that our hearts are zealous for his glory. And if we have one without the other, we do not have the full picture. So my beloved brethren, we need both. Abel was accepted because he came by faith, trusting God, zealous for God, a righteous man, bringing to God what he desired, a more excellent sacrifice. And both matter. And so that's why Abel was accepted. It wasn't merely because he brought the right thing, and it wasn't merely because he came by faith. It was both. It's very interesting that Moses, by the Holy Spirit, wants you to know what they brought, showing that it didn't matter how they came and what they brought. One, the fruit of the ground, one, the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the book of Hebrews wants you to know that it also mattered how they came. Abel by faith, a heart trusting in God and seeking to please him because he trusted him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes or draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so without faith, we cannot please God. But also we do not please God when we bring what we desire and not what he has commanded. And then we see in light of this, in light of the reality of God receiving or respecting Abel and his offering, regarding him with pleasure and not Cain, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. We'll see in probably next week how God warns him of what to do with his sinful anger. But we see that Cain, instead of humbling himself, instead of crying out for mercy because of his sin of wickedness, of unbelief, of not bringing what God desires, in coming in his own way without faith, crying out, God, save me and rescue me, his response is to get angry. And you know, sadly, this can happen with churchgoers who aren't Christians nowadays, sadly. You warn them of the danger of images. You warn them of the danger of worship practices they're doing. You warn them of the danger of coming without faith. You warn them that they say they're a Christian, but they give no evidence. And you know what some of their response can be? Just like Cain, to get angry with you. You're the problem. I was feeling just fine until you had to make me feel bad. Cain, not accepted, he gets angry instead of humbling himself. And sadly, many people, and we don't want to be like this, but sadly, many people, instead of taking the rebuke or the admonition or the counsel seriously, they get angry with you as the person. That's how Cain felt. Cain was not accepted. Cain was not received. And he becomes very angry and his countenance falls. This is what can happen. When we are not humbled before the Lord, when we are not seeking to worship him as he desires, if we do something that makes us feel good and we find out that it's not right or someone tells us it's not right, we get upset, we get angry, and our countenance can fall. And that's how Cain responded to this. That's how Cain responded to this truth that he was not accepted, nor his offering. And so we live in a day where many people can think, as long as you have good intentions, God thinks it's good. As long as your intentions are right, God is pleased with it. As long as it makes you feel good, as long as it makes you feel happy, as long as it makes you feel worshipful, God must want it because it makes you feel good. Which is wrong. And there are other people who can think, as long as I bring God what he says, as long as I bring things that he commands, it doesn't matter how I do it, as long as I bring it. And that's wrong too. So to get out of both of these ditches, what does God want from us? Faith and bringing what he wants. Zeal and bringing what he commands. Not either or, but both and. But how was Abel to come by faith as a righteous man, bringing what God desired? Because Abel was trusting in the promised seed, who we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not accepted by God because he was in himself all that he needed, self-sufficient. He didn't need God to save him. He didn't need to be rescued. He was good in himself. That's not why Abel was saved. He came by faith. He came knowing that he could not in himself save himself, and he needed to be redeemed. And so he trusted God based on most likely his parents teaching him about the promise of redemption in Genesis 3:15. And he came to true faith in the God that made him and the God that promised to redeem them through the seed of the woman. Abel, just like every other Old Testament believer, was saved by faith in the promised Redeemer, who we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no one ever saved, Abel or anyone else, who was saved in any other way but by faith in the coming Son of God. There was no one ever saved by their own works righteousness. They were never saved by the law. They were never saved by the sacrificial system. Those things merely showed them that they needed a Redeemer who would save them from their sin. And so we see here, Abel, unlike Cain, had true faith in the coming seed of the woman to take away his sin. And so we must never think that these people, Abel's called righteous. Yes, he was. He was a godly man. But he was only godly first and foremost because he was saved. And by the working of God in his life, he was able to live an upright life before God. But it wasn't he was a godly, upright man, therefore he was saved. It was he was saved by the grace of God through faith in what Christ would do for him. And there, by the working of the Spirit in him and through him, he was able to live an upright life. But we always must get that order right. It's never, I'm righteous, so I'm saved. It's, I'm saved, so I'm enabled to live a righteous life. That's what made the difference for Abel. Abel was a man saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But if you're here today without the salvation found in Jesus Christ, if you're here not sure, not confident that you are in Jesus Christ, you can never come to God by faith. Because you need faith in Christ to ever come to God in faith in his worship. Only through faith in Jesus Christ can a person truly worship God. No one can sincerely worship God in truth unless they are in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because no one comes to the Father except through him. Not only to get to heaven, but also to worship the Father. No one can worship the Father except through him. And so we only get to worship God through Jesus Christ. And as believers, let us take this important note that God cares about our hearts when we come to worship. God cares that we come by faith. God cares that we come with a desire to worship him because we trust that he is better than anything else we could be doing with our time right now. Because we trust that everything that he gives is good, and therefore we come trusting him. Let me ask you, are you coming today? Or have you been coming recently to worship with a zealous faith? Or have you just got used to coming? Or are you coming with zealous faith? Are you coming with a desire to worship God by faith because of all that he's done for you in Christ? Or are you taking it for granted that you get to come here? Or are you coming trusting God and all the blessings of getting to worship him? Sometimes we can take the easiness of worship in America for granted. And it becomes something that we just get used to, not knowing that in many countries, it's very difficult for them to worship. And we should be so thankful, and it should make us come with greater faith because of the blessing of being able to worship God. And also, let us not only come with faith, let us not only come with hearts desirous to honor God. Let's not only come believing him as our God, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, but let us also come worshiping him as he determines. Let us come worshiping him as he requires, knowing that faith and obedience go together. If we trust God, we want to obey him. And unlike Cain, we shouldn't be very angry or even, of course, want to murder other people because of our disobedience. We should want to repent and seek God if we realize we're doing something that was wrong and disobedient. And so may we be, by God's grace, like Abel in the sense that we come by faith in the promise of the seed of the woman who has come, our Lord Jesus Christ, with a zealous desire to please him and to offer him the worship that he's due. And may we, throughout the week, the times when we're not here, seek to, by God's help, live a godly life. And when we sin, repent, and continue to press on that we might come with clean hands and a pure heart, ultimately because we're in Christ, but also because we are seeking to live a godly life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So may God help us. to trust Christ, who alone can make us acceptable to God, and then in Christ offer to God the worship that he is worthy of receiving. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you would help us, and we pray that you would give us grace. Help us to come to you by faith with hearts zealous for your glory, worshiping you as you command. Help us. Forgive us when we haven't. Forgive us when we have not come as you desire. And help us be all the more zealous to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.